This is Alaskan Legislative Review, a program of analysis of Alaskan legislative issues and processes produced at the University of Alaska in Fairbanks. I'm your host, Ron Clark. Today's program is about the Alaskan Permanent Fund, and our guest is Steve Cooper, a member of the Permanent Fund Board. Welcome, Steve.
It's nice to be here, Ron.
Thanks. Why don't we start back at square one? The Permanent Fund, I think to many people in Alaska, is a $1,000 check that comes in the mail or hasn't come yet in the mail, and they don't know much more about it. Where did this all start?
Well, Ron, back some years ago, when it became apparent that Alaska might realize a lot of revenue during a relatively limited period of time, it was suggested that we set aside a certain percentage of that money in a savings account to take care of needs that would arise after the oil money was gone. And that idea was carried through to the legislature that met in 1975 and 76, and there was a bill put in by Representative Hugh Malone from Kenai to establish the Permanent Fund, and the Hammond administration vetoed that bill on the theory that it would set aside an illegal dedication of revenues, and instead they put forth a constitutional amendment which established the Permanent Fund. And that amendment went on the ballot in 1976 and, of course, passed. And so that's basically a brief history of it. I think Representative Hugh Malone is probably more responsible than any single person for that fund, as well as Jim Rode, who was an aide to Representative Malone at that time.
Okay, what are the major objectives of the Permanent Fund? What are they trying to accomplish with that?
Well, the reason why the Permanent Fund idea was put forth for the public to vote on, and of course it was approved overwhelmingly, was that everybody realized that there was a very large surplus of revenues which would accrue to the state of Alaska over a short period of time, and that it would be very tempting for the legislature to just spend every cent that it got its hands on. So we thought it would be best to have a kind of savings account, as I mentioned before, through which we were required to set aside a certain amount of money and invest it and not use the principal and to use the income for whatever purposes the legislature would decide from time to time. As it turns out, the money that's going into the Permanent Fund is a great deal more than we had envisioned in 1975 and 1976. We had thought in those days, well, we might have as much as $2 billion in the Permanent Fund over the whole life of the thing. And in fact, there's over twice that much in the fund right now, and it may go to as high as $10 billion. Now, what's going to happen, of course, is that in 8, 10, or 12 years, depending on circumstances that are not within our control, the state will begin to drop off in terms of revenue. And that means if we don't have some other way to get this money, we're either going to have to cut government services almost to nothing, or we are going to have to raise taxes to a point where it's almost confiscatory. So it makes sense to me to put aside enough money so that we can fund, maybe 50% of government expenses from the revenues.
Mm-hmm. So who is in charge then? The Permanent Fund Board is the board of people apparently assigned to keep the Permanent Fund from getting pillaged and ruined and hauled off into various projects that aren't worthwhile or not in the interest of the state. Who decides where that money goes?
Well, the Permanent Fund Board of Trustees was set up by the legislature some years back. I think it was in 1980, but I'm not sure. And there are six of us. Two of them are cabinet members. All of us are appointed by the governor, and we serve at the governor's pleasure. So as a practical matter, the governor does control the makeup of the Permanent Fund Board. Our job is to select proper investments for the fund, which is a pretty big job when you consider that even today, the Alaska Permanent Fund is bigger than the Ford Foundation, for instance, which has been in existence for years and years. And the investment decisions that we make today will have a pretty profound effect on the future of the state of Alaska. So we decide where and how to invest the money. The income that we're able to realize from those investments is appropriated by the legislature. It goes into the permanent, goes into the general fund, and the legislature decides from one year to the next exactly what it plans to do with that money. It has, of course, in the past decided to hand out checks to every citizen, and it's used the money for several other purposes, which is fine. We really don't have anything to say as board members about what the legislature does with the income. We have to do with the principal of the fund and how to invest it.
Mm-hmm. And there's six board members?
Yes.
All appointed by the current governor? Or
no,
the term?
They have. We have specific terms. And I was appointed because Peter McDowell had a term, and he was required to resign when he was made head of the State Office of Budget and Management. He had to quit, and the governor appointed me to fill out his term. George Rogers, the current chairman of the Board of Trustees, is scheduled to go off the board as of the 1st of July, I think. So the governor will have to decide as of that date whether to reappoint George or to appoint somebody else in his stead.
Mm-hmm. Do the citizens of Alaska have any recourse if they decide that the Permanent Fund Board is doing something they don't want done with the Permanent Fund money, or not the income, but the principal?
Well,
have
sure.
They got any recourse?
Sure. If most of the people in the state of Alaska, for instance, wanted the board to put the money in some other place, they could go to their legislators and say, hey, we want a bill here to control permanent fund investments, and that would be permissible under the constitutional amendment. We haven't had that kind of activity because I think most people, at least, barring a certain group, which is mostly in Anchorage in the Valley, most people think that the Permanent Fund Board is doing just fine.
Mm-hmm. How do you decide where to put the money? You must have all sorts of ideas and suggestions coming in from all quarters. How do you actually sit down and figure out where to put it? I'm sure you have more than enough suggestions for where to put that money.
Well, we're required to invest conservatively. That is, we don't take a flyer on risky ventures, and that's in keeping with the nature of our trust. This is public money. It's not money that's been put up by individual investors who are willing to take a flyer and gamble on it. This is public money, and we have to treat it as such. So we invest conservatively. We have in the past invested mostly in government paper, short-term government paper, which has given us a very large amount of income over and above inflation, by the way, in spite of recent political rhetoric. And we've gotten a lot of profit from doing that. Now, the interest rate on government paper is going down somewhat, and we are presently in the process of investing a relatively small amount of permanent fund money in common stocks. This is permissible under the legislation that passed a couple of years ago. And of course, we're not going out and buying penny stocks. We're buying the stocks of established firms, and mostly firms that have a history of paying out dividends. And so we're being very, very careful with that. We have some very professional advice, people who have been investing this kind of money for years and years, and I think we're doing okay.
Are there any restrictions as to where that money can be invested, in the state, out of state, foreign countries?
Yeah, we're not allowed to buy stocks of companies that are basically owned by aliens, persons outside the country. We can't invest in foreign corporations, in other words.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond that, we are only constrained by the rule that we have to invest in income-producing securities. Now, there's some argument going on as to whether capital appreciation is the same as income-producing. We think it is. In other words, if you buy a stock at $2 and sell it at $4 a year later, that's income in the same way as though that stock paid dividends during that period of time. So we're having that debate among the board members right now, but aside from that, it's pretty clear what we have to invest in.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, we're only investing 15% of the fund's money in common stocks right now.
How much of the permanent fund investment is actually out of state?
Well, it's hard to tell because, for instance, is Alaska Airlines stock, is that out of state? I don't know whether it is or not. Its chief officers now live in Seattle, although they used to live in Fairbanks. The airline flies from Seattle to Long Beach and other places. I'm not sure whether that's an Alaskan investment or not.
Mm-hmm.
As a practical matter, it will become more and more difficult to make that distinction. We'll probably have stock in a number of corporations that do business in the state of Alaska. So I think that the notion that all the money should be invested in Alaska ought to be explained to the people, because frankly, Tom Fink and some of his followers have I think misrepresented the nature of the investments that the permanent fund is making.
Yeah, we've heard quite a hue and cry, especially during the last gubernatorial campaign, people claiming they're going to get that money back in the state where it belongs, and
that's
very confusing.
It makes for hot political rhetoric, but it's irresponsible. That's not a personal swipe at Mr. Fink. I know him and like him a great deal and respect some of his views, though not all of them. But I think that that his talk and some of the talk of some of the people around him has served to misrepresent some of the facts around the permanent fund.
So what is the current state of health of the permanent fund? Are we growing? Are we healthy? Or are we losing ground? How's it doing?
Well, we have got around $4.5 billion in the fund at this point, and there is a statutory requirement that 50% of rents, royalties, and that those sorts of payments would go into the fund. The constitutional amendment says just 25%, but we increased it to 50, so we're getting more and more money all the time. And I think, by and large, the public resents any incursion into the fund. This past week, for instance, we saw a legislative attempt to invade the money that was set aside to inflation-proof the fund. The legislature, or at least the state senate anyway, dug into that money and spent every nickel of it. And there was a great hue and cry about it. Both the Anchorage papers, in a sort of a rare show of unanimity, both condemned it the very next day. They called them pirates and irresponsible so-and-sos and that sort of stuff. And the permanent fund board of trustees made a rare statement for us. George Rogers, the chairman of the board, issued a statement highly critical of the state senate for doing that. We have not, as a board, entered into much of the political discussion that goes on about the permanent fund, but that's not to indicate that we won't when we think it's right. And we thought this was one of the times when we had better come to the defense of the fund, and we did.
Will the legislature listen to you when you say, if you stand up and say, hey, this is not a good idea, we don't think this is a good thing to do, can they just say, heck with you guys, we'll do anything we want? Or?
Well, sure they can. At the risk of their seats, our appeal is to the public and not to the legislature. The public, in fact, created the permanent fund. It was created through a constitutional amendment that was voted on by the public, and any raid on the permanent fund, we're going to take that to the public. We're not going to go lobby the legislature. I think the legislature at this point, it's difficult to tell where to go. If you want to make any sense out of things, a lot of people think the legislature looks like a big Looney Tune. No, our appeal is going to be to the public directly.
Mm-hmm. Threats to the permanent fund are probably nothing new. Is it becoming more common, though? Or are people trying to grab big chunks or little chunks or whatever they can get away with?
Well, as near as I'm able to tell, the legislature can be counted on to try to spend every nickel it can get its hands on. I'm not about to tell you that was not the case when I served in the legislature, but it has changed a great deal since I was there, mainly because of the surpluses that exist. We had no surpluses when I was last in the legislature in 1978. We had just about enough to fund government operations, and that was about it. So it's different. It's changed. The name of the game now is money, money, money. And if you want to save any for later on, you're going to have to fight to do it, and that's what we're trying to do.
So it seems, though, that the fund is secure for the future. You've got pretty good protection against just blatant grabbing of the money and running. In the next couple of years, do you foresee a lot of problems trying to keep that money in a proper direction to benefit the most Alaskans it can?
Yeah, I do. I certainly do, and so do the other members of the board.
What kind of things are coming here?
Well, I think two things, two specific dangers. One will be, for instance, a direction by the legislature to invest, for instance, in Alaska mortgages at a very low interest. Well, in the first place, so that's, by the way, something that the so-called conservatives were talking about during the last election. It won't work. It will last at that rate. The permanent fund will last about a year and a half, and there won't be any money left in it. It will come to an end because Alaska was actually given out close to $2 billion in loans per year, all told.
So basically that would amount to giving money out for home loans and then not ever getting it back?
Well, you get it back, but that's the end of it. I mean, you could lend out money for maybe two and a half years at most, and then the money would be gone. You would be getting some of it back from time to time, but the fund itself would just consist of a lot of paper. I personally think it's a great deal better if the legislature wants to subsidize home loans to just do it out of the general fund. Let us make as much money as we can on these investments, and if the legislature wants to use part of the income to subsidize home loans, fine. That's okay. That's their prerogative. Maybe I would have voted to do that myself if I'd been in the legislature. But don't dedicate the proceeds to home loans. What if interest rates go back down to 4%? They were at 4% at a time that I can remember, and as a matter of fact, I got a 4.5% loan for a home once 20 years ago, and it might well go back to 4% again. Now, it's kind of silly to reserve billions of dollars for low-interest home loans when that kind of thing might happen once again. Let the legislature decide what to do with that money from one year to the next.
And the other threat besides unlimited home loans are not unlimited, but
well, I lump home loans with all sorts of low-interest loans.
Okay.
Basically, a lot of people see the permanent fund as being a big pot of money that they ought to have. Everybody looks at money that way, I suppose, and people who are interested in the general interest as opposed to special interests have got to look out for that kind of thing. Because everybody's coming in and saying, don't give the money to them, give it to us. But the second thing I think that poses a potential danger is a dedication of the revenues for some specific purpose. Now, nobody can tell what's going to happen in this state 10 years from now. You have no way of knowing. And it's very foolish to, in my opinion, to dedicate revenues from the permanent fund to some specific purpose today that might not even exist 10 years from now. You have to do it through a constitutional amendment, dedicate the revenues, that is, and if you find in 10 years or so that you don't need, that purpose doesn't have to be met anymore, you've got a lot of money that's going someplace where you don't want it, and you have to pass a constitutional amendment, repealing an amendment, in order to get your money back. It's smarter, I think, to appropriate that money through the legislature and through the governor's office year after year. You can tell what your needs are going to be in one particular year, but you can't tell what it's going to be, what they're going to be in 10, 15, or 20 years.
Mm-hmm. Do you think this year we'll see the last of the permanent fund dividends given to individual Alaskans?
Well, speaking as an individual citizen and not as a board member, though I think most of the board agrees with me on this, I'd like to see that abolished. I don't think it's good practice. I think it looks terrible from a national standpoint. It just makes everybody in the Congress see red. I personally don't think that that's something the government ought to do, just hand out money to people. If the money's surplus to the needs of Alaska, and apparently it is, I think it ought to be put back in the principal. What people don't realize is that in a few years here, and it's hard, as I say, to tell how many years it's going to be, but we are not going to have enough money to run the government. And the more money we save today, the less we're going to have to tax ourselves or our children in another 10 or 15 years. The history of Alaska is replete with examples of the fight between people who came up for a quick buck, let's make a lot of money and get out of this place, and the people who came here to make a home, who have got a stake in the future and who want their children to grow up here. Now, I don't have any problem deciding which side I'm on. I'm here for the long term. I want my children to be able to come here and make a decent living and to have some decent level of government services when they do come. I don't want to spend all the money now. I don't want to feather my own nest at the expense of my children's. And that's the sort of decision that we have to make. It's easy to look at revenue projections. It's easy to see how much we're going to have to tax ourselves in about 15 years. It isn't difficult. Everybody can look at those figures. And I think there's a serious danger that when the oil money runs out, that we will either be able to afford almost no government services, which is bad in a state with not much of a population and as remote as we are, or we're going to have to tax ourselves back to the Stone Age. Either way, you can't attract people, you can't attract industry, nobody will come here because the living standards will be on the decline. And I don't want to leave my children that kind of legacy.
Mm-hmm. So with the dividends, you think they're going to disappear this year? Is that a legislative decision? Or is that the board's decision?
No, the board has nothing to do with it.
Okay.
That, once again, is a disposition of the income of the fund. No, it'll be a joint decision of the legislature and the governor. And if the legislature appropriates the money for the dividends, I don't know what the governor might do, whether he'll veto or whether he won't. I, of course, can't speak for him.
Mm-hmm.
I would hope that he would veto it. But that's a personal desire, theoretically at least, that the board doesn't have any position on what happens to the income.
Mm-hmm. Just from a personal standpoint, or maybe the board has issued an opinion, what's the best thing you guys could do with this money? What's the future hold in store? Where would you like to see the permanent fund go?
Well, I'd like to see us gain the kind of knowledge that we'll need as a board so that we can make intelligent decisions as to where the profitable centers are going to be in this country in the next few years. That's really what we're doing. Mm-hmm. We're investing for the long run. We're not investing money that we're going to have to get out in a year and spend it. We don't have to worry about a quick profit. We do have to worry about the trend of events in this country. So I would like to see the board develop the knowledge and expertise that's necessary to oversee a fund of this size. And I would hope that we would invest in industries that are coming, that have a future, that are looking towards a long history of profitable ventures, and you can do that with the proper advice, so that what we have over the years is a very good return, a very high return on our money invested with a minimum of risk. In other words, if you can invest in risky ventures and maybe come out in good times with a 12-15% return, that's not what we're going to do. We want to invest in ventures that will be safe but yet yield a high rate of return. Now that sounds like a pipe dream, but it isn't. The return will be lower than if we invested in risky ventures, but it'll still be high enough to hopefully to support a large part of the government here in another few years.
All right, great. This has been Alaskan Legislative Review. Today's guest has been Steve Cooper, and we've been talking about the Alaskan Permanent Fund. Alaskan Legislative Review is a production of KUAC-FM at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. Our executive producer is Carla Tonella. For KUAC-FM, I'm Ron Clark.